call the special meeting of Township of McKellar Council of September 23rd, 2023 to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Marla Dasten.
Counselor Debbie Zula.
Counselor Mike Heckinen.
Treasurer Roshan Tantia.
Clerk Administrator Ida Watkinson.
Mayor David Moore. Whether Cardigan here, but the deputy clerk is here running the equipment. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robbins and Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We're grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. I have resolution 23-622, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for the special meeting of Council as presented. Any discussion of the agenda? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-623, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into a public meeting at 10:02 a.m. to discuss the Westbury Sound Recreation and Cultural Center. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. If you're following on the agenda, it is at the public meeting section. We've called the meeting for, I guess it's threefold reasons. The presentation that was never provided to the McKellar ratepayers back in 2021, so we've borrowed the one that was presented to Carly, and we'll be using that as information for you. I think there's a copy at the desk when you come in. As well, I think if you picked it up, and if, by the way, if we ran out of copies back there, just let our staff know, and we will make sure we have more copies run for you so that you can have those available. So we'll be going through the presentation that never was, and we'll also try to update that with information that we have available. And the primary reason, I think, is to hear the opinions of McKellar ratepayers and the general public, what their views are concerning this project. Still in the planning stages with the project, certainly, and there are many questions out there that haven't been answered. And unfortunately, the chair had a previous commitment and couldn't be here, the chair of the Joint Municipal Services Board. So we're still presenting what information we have. May not be able to answer all of your questions, but as I said, the primary reason is to get your opinions, your feedback. And it's not just what you say here today, what is being recorded. It's letters to the council, emails to the council. We need your opinions. And now is the, it's never too late to find out what you're really thinking. And normally the way it's governance is set up, that you've elected council to represent your views throughout the year. But when it comes to a project of this nature, this size, the largest ever in our township, and the one that's ongoing costs, then we wanted to get your opinions on it. It's not a referendum as such. That's all passed, whether it should have been or not. But we do want your opinions today and over the next couple of weeks. Again, if you have opinions or if other people do, send them to council and through the staff, either through the chair, as a chair at, no, it's not chair, it's clerk at McKellar.ca, and also deputy clerk at McKellar.ca. And those will be recorded for a future meeting of council then, and we will consider your opinions. So we'll start off then, and by the way, I should also say, after we do the presentation that was set for Carly, we would open it up to some questions. We'll have Ina do a quick presentation on what her role is on the steering committee, and we'll have Roshan say a few words on what we've spent to date and what we know we will have to spend down the road. They won't be final figures, obviously, because not everything is completed yet. Then we would open up the questions, and I'd like to take the people who actually come in person to ask your questions, give your opinions, and then we would go to the people on Zoom. And what I would ask of the people on Zoom is that they stay on mute, and I won't be able to see them all necessarily, but that they stay on mute and have the camera off, and when they're permitted to speak, Carly will take care of that, and they can come on and unmute and give their opinions as well. So we would like to start maybe with, I should mention as well, just as far as the program, as far as exits, it's the entrance that you came in, and also through the kitchen, if necessary, in an emergency, and down these stairs as well. I believe it's all unlocked. It leads out through the basement door as well. Okay, Councillor Haslam, if you want to start us off, I'm going to talk to Carly if she's got the screen up there. There we go. As I say, most of you have copies, although you may have run out by now, in which case you can look on with someone else, and Councillor Haslam will read through it, and we'll try to update as we go along what information we have available.
Good morning, everybody. Everybody can hear me fine? Welcome, and Councillor Moore, I'm hoping and sure that we can all be out of here by 6 o'clock this evening. It would be nice. I'll try to speak slightly on the faster side, but we'll, like David said, we'll go over the presentation that was going around in 2021. Very few, I believe, municipalities went ahead with the presentation, as Carlin did, but we will, and to get everybody up to date. Though by the faces in the crowd, I believe everybody's been doing their homework, and everybody's quite well aware of what has been going on, but we'll go through the steps here anyway. So, why a recreation and culture center? Well, physical activity is critical to the health and well-being of a community. Recreation center is community building. High degree of community support, minimal indoor recreation available to the public. And then I could add, and Dave and I talked about if he may jump in and add the odd thing, but I think one thing that's kind of important on this page is the recruitment of professionals. Perry Sound is one of the few local towns that does not have a pool, and our hospital is getting into a bad situation. Not get professionals in to ensure that we are getting the proper health care. So I just thought I should know that is very important, and I just thought I would mention that as also one of the reasons going forward. Thank you. Next slide. Steps to get there. 7 West Perry Sound Area Councils gave the Wellness Center and Cool Committee a mandate to submit an ICIP grant application on November 2019. October 2020, reported due diligence results to the Wellness Center and Pool Committee. Wellness Center and Pool Committee approved recommendations for each council's consideration and approval. Council authorization, ICIP application.
Now that is Carling's, but it,
yeah.
So, so McKellar did one similar to that?
Right. Okay, I don't know if you need me to read that whole
thing. No, that's fine.
Okay, we'll go on to the next slide. This lays out the format going forward. Original discussions, which I went to a couple of meetings just to kind of see what was going on. Really, when the pool talks started, personally myself, you always hear around, we should have a pool, but I wasn't so sure. And of course, wondering whether we could even afford it. So I attended a couple of citizen advisory committee meetings, and there was lots of people there in attendance, and they felt pretty strongly about seeing about going forward. So and they would take any information they had to the steering committee. And then the steering committee, which was comprised of CAOs and clerks of each of the 7 municipalities, then took their recommendations to the Wellness Center and Pool Committee, which consists of the representatives from each of the townships and First Nations, as you can see on the top list there.
Now that has been updated. We no longer have.
Yeah, I guess I could mention that. I was going to get that on the proportionate and the concert, but
okay, that's fine.
I believe Whitestone decided not to join them to be on the pool committee. They decided to go with a one-time capital donation and not stay on the committee.
And they also have a 10-year commitment to the operating costs? But that's another slide, perhaps.
Yes. Okay, Carolyn. Okay, due diligence, site selection, architects and engineering, conceptual design and programming, governance of the center, a law firm, and cost sharing was determined by the CAOs on the steering committee.
Now, one question on that one, could. For the Barrison Law, are you aware that were they used throughout? This is back in 2021, and you were on until 2022. Were they still the go-to solicitor?
Yeah, I'm not sure that would have been taken care of by the steering committee, so I can't answer that 100%, whether it was that law firm.
Okay.
Due diligence site selection through an RFP, engaged independent architect and engineer, established matrix for site evaluation, and evaluated four potential sites. And the site evaluation matrix was determined by a certain criteria. Location, accessibility to the public, and optimal marketing opportunities, access to major transportation routes and traffic considerations. Costs, of course, are taken into consideration. Accessibility costs to provide utilities to the site, sewer water service, hydro, natural gas, and so on. Size and flexibility of the properties and environmental assessment. Due diligence site selection.
Just one question on the previous, if we could. Talked about the RFP engaged independent architect and engineer. You, as a committee member on the Wellness Center and Pool Committee, did you see any RFP? Or was that left to the steering committee?
That, again, was left to the steering committee. I'm not sure if we were forwarded on a copy of that or not. Can't recall. Due diligence site selection, YMCA property on Smith Crescent received the highest score. It had lots of acreage, high visibility, and relatively level. Soil and geotechnical examination confirmed suitable. Town owns approximately 9 acres abutting the site. There's other development lands in the vicinity. Town services available close, and the YMCA property at that time was the recommended site with a 6 of 7 recorded votes going forward.
Any update on that?
an update, I guess the sites are being re-looked at, and so apparently that's, I don't know if that's actually full out to the public or not, but in reports that David has, David can touch on it more, but apparently there is another site still in play, so I think the due diligence is being done to make sure the best site is used going forward, so I don't know if David, you can add to that at all.
Well, again, it's just not the board who's doing any negotiating with anybody on property. There is a subcommittee established, and it usually comes back to the board, then the board either yes or no to the recommendation of the subcommittee and through the steering committee. The subcommittee is made up of members of the steering committee as well, so, and I believe the chair might be part of this. So So as you say, other properties in play, but no new properties as such, just the ones from actually October 22nd, 2020. If you remember that presentation, it's in the open minutes, and it's quite detailed. It's available on the website for the pool and rec center. And there were four sites at the time. One was eliminated because it's being used by another company, the one at the mall. The other three were still in play. And this one, as you say, is still questionable, even though this is a very positive for the site. There's still negotiations, and there's more than one site in play at the moment. And as I say, I don't think any deals have been made yet, nothing that's been made, presented to the board at least, so that we're in a waiting pattern as well on that one.
And I could also add that the site selection has produced a lot of closed session meetings and what some suspect is wrongdoing behind doors, but when you're dealing with properties, you can't put it out to the public because I guess some people, there's some wrongdoing may happen or it may balloon a potential site, the cost of that property. So even each municipality, when it comes to talking about purchasing or of properties, that's usually done in closed session. So I don't think the board or anybody else is trying to hide anything that the public can know. So just like touch on that. That's a lot of closed session talk. Due diligence, conceptual design program, citizen advisory committee for public input created in October 2019. Architects incorporated many of the committee's recommendations into the design. YMCA consulted to ensure programming would drive membership.
One quick question on the Citizen Advisory Committee. Now, that was before my time. I was part of that. They had to report to the steering committee, you said?
What recommendations went forward to the
At what point did those people on the Citizen Advisory Committee approach the board? I imagine they were appointed, were they? Or?
Yes, they were appointed, and they would only... Directions and recommendations would go to the steering committee. I don't believe directly to the board. The steering committee would give the board the information coming from the advisory committee.
Okay, and a couple slides coming in suggest what the advisory committee had proposed.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Citizen advisory committee recommendations, six lane, 25-meter pool for swim meets, a larger leisure therapeutic pool with defined play area, amenities, and relaxation area, a sauna on pool deck. They must have been big spenders back then or something, I don't know. But gymnasium, regulation size for competitions, four pickleball courts, which certainly makes sense with even Keller here. There are four courts out of the arena are filled up. Walking track, that would be mostly for seniors, and a common area with vending machines. And number seven, viewing area for the pool and gymnasium. A second level for swim meets and gymnasium competitions, though this is the second level, and talk to different people, that didn't always sound like a good idea. Fitness and studio, 6,300 square feet of fitness and 2,300 of studio. No change proposed. Multi-purpose rooms, no change proposed. Two small, three medium, and one large divisible MP rooms. So all sorts of additives onto this structure besides just the pool, as you see in the recommendation. Other mentions for future considerations, recognition of indigenous culture and local history, charging stations for electrical vehicles, superior energy efficiency, outdoor tennis courts, and an outdoor water park features. So that was a large wish list going forward.
And I'm just not sure, I don't have a list of who was on that citizen advisory committee, but was it again advertised, and were people, did they apply? What people in particular, walks of life, that sort of thing. Did you say they had expensive tastes by the sounds of it?
Well, I'm just going by the list there. I see, and now I think I'm jumping forward too much, realizing that with the cost and inflation and everything, there's going to have to be a lot taken off that luxury list. So as far as I know, I think there was an advertisement for the advisory committee. I think a lot of them, I think it went way back before my time, before I even took interest, of these people wanting a pool for the area. I believe there, I know for one for sure was from McKellar Township. There may have been another one, I can't remember, but there's a lot of interest at that point. And then preliminary drawing came forward with trying to incorporate all of this, and I believe this is the same drawing went forward to get figures on a couple of years ago, which my first reaction, I thought, wow, this is quite something that McKellar area can be proud of, like almost ridiculously luxury, because I went to four others in the area, the other four towns, when I got appointed to the board. Just kind of want to know what, you know, what kind of facilities when I see these drawings, and some nice facilities. This would be at the top of this. Huntsville has one that I think they got millions of dollars because of the summit at one time, so their facility is just still beyond comprehension for a small town like that. So this, if it could ever go ahead, would be something Perry Sound would really be proud of, but as I said before, I think it's something that's going to the side now, because there's only a certain amount of money in the bucket, and something like this I don't think is affordable. But that's something I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about later on in the meeting.
Okay, with this one now, you've just gone through the Citizen Advisory Committee recommending the six lanes. I noticed this option A, even after that, I assume, has four lanes in it. Is that something, this went out to the public then, a four-lane pool, right?
Right, well, at that point, and I don't want to know, she was on the steering committee, then I think some things were just, and I think the architect, the owner at that time, said, well, six lanes is going to be that much more additional cost. Let's just design the four lanes into it. A couple of the other local towns just have four-lane pools, so I think they were thinking, trying to have some consideration of cost maybe at that time. Due diligence governance of the center. Each municipality funding partner may appoint one member of their council as a voting member. Members have a weighted vote based on their financial contribution. No funding members, Wassasing and Shawangunk First Nation, may each appoint one member of their council as a non-voting participant. The board has full authority and necessary powers to manage the construction, operating, repairing, fundraising, and improving of the facility. The board has no authority to borrow funds. A capital reserve fund will be required to properly maintain this facility. Annual municipal payments are based on the cost-sharing formula recommended in this presentation. The cost-sharing proportion will be updated every 10 years using the updated data. Amendments to the agreement may be changed by a two-thirds vote of the municipalities, except if the municipality wishes to withdraw from the board, in which case all municipalities must give their consent.
Now, was that clarified at the time? I know the agreement was prepared as well and signed by the township. Amendments to the agreement, two-thirds vote of the municipalities, was that a weighted vote, or what was the understanding at the time when that agreement was drawn up, or was it just that each municipality voting with one vote? It's confusing the way it's worded, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. I lean toward the weighted, but Ina could confirm that.
No, unfortunately, I can't confirm that.
Yeah,
that was before.
I know that the Township Council had passed two resolutions in quick succession in 2021, and the first one said they wanted one municipality, one vote. And then the second resolution that came shortly thereafter, after your discussion, I guess, with the pool committee, said that no, we'll waive that then and we'll go with the weighted voting. So I guess the first preference was one vote, one municipality.
Absolutely.
And what was the line of thinking that we did would work for you? I don't want to put you on the spot, but
yeah, well, went through the steering committee, they came for recommendations, and theirs was to go to the weighted, which only allowed McKellar one vote, which I believe out of a total now of 12 to 13. We were not in favor of that at the time, but that's what the recommendation coming from the steering committee. We went to the board, and the board voted in favor of going with that formula. So,
okay, to back up a little bit then. The resolution came from the council. The board voted in favor of that, but I'm just wondering, did the council vote in favor of that as well? Is that what supported the board? I'm wondering what the municipality at that stage even, did they have a say in what the board was going to do?
The rep on the board, which at that point was me, I believe I brought forward that, of course, by the resolution council, which I was going by council's resolution, would bring it forward, and as far as at that point, I'm not sure if I voted against it, because there are probably other aspects to that motion. I may have voted for it, knowing that the discussion was pretty much confirmed whether I voted for it or not, so it carried.
Well, we don't want to spend any time now, but that's what's confusing, I guess. I thought it was still in the municipality's court to make a decision on that, not the board saying that this is prior to signing any agreement, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking even the agreement could still be negotiated by each municipality on its own. As you say, Whitestone decided not to participate. I'm just asking, in McKellar's situation, was the opportunity there to, because of the weighted voting or for whatever other reason, to say no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you're saying, it would have been an opportunity to say no at that point, stick with it, and possibly take the same route as Whitestone did. It might have been an option, or just bow out totally. The options were there, but obviously McKellar's still in, so that's not how
okay.
It was. Due diligence facility overview, $32 million project, and as soon as we heard figures like that, it just never sounded possible. That was 48,000 square feet. Provincial federal grant application was 73.3%, and the municipal portion 26.7%, which made brought things back into perspective a little bit, made things look possible. Aquatics, gym, fitness area, walking track, multi-purpose space were all included in that application. YMCA as the preferred operator. YMCA has agreed to donate the land.
Now, you made the comment that even back then, $32 million, you thought was underpriced? And I know it's difficult because we're looking at it in hindsight now. But.
Yeah, the $32 million. No, I think I was even a builder for most of my life, and $32 million to me, and I think a lot of boards thought, holy, that's a lot of money, that should really build something really nice. I think at that point, that sounded all realistic kind of thing, but of course, then COVID hit shortly after, and then of course, everything went through the roof, so it wasn't much after that, I believe, that at least myself and my council started thinking, yeah, this is not going to be possible, but at that price. But we may talk about we only committed a certain amount of dollars, and McKellar, I know from discussions with the council, have no intention of putting any more money in. I believe that's how most of the municipalities feel. So I would believe that drawing and that 30, sticking with that 32 million, I would imagine ever to get something built for that cost, you're going to be talking a lot of de-scoping of the existing plan. Due diligence cost allocation, as you see the different percentages there. Not too much to add there, except McKellar's is lower on there because McKellar, just before the agreement sign came in, that we wanted to be down at 2%. Less than that, of course, that was not, I was not very popular at that meeting, but that was the direction of my council. And with discussion among the other municipalities to keep it going, they said, okay, we'll give McKellar 2% off to knock us down to 7.3, I believe, or 7.5, or whatever the figure was at the time. And but then also Whitestone pulled out at that point, so then the 6.1 had to be divided over the other six participating municipalities, so that brought McKellar back up to, I believe, from the 7.3 we're asking to the 8.5, I believe we sit at now.
And that formula was devised by the steering committee?
That's right.
And they added a wrinkle to what we've normally done over decades. Driving distance, I believe?
Yeah, that was part of their formula.
And so that helped McKellar's participation. What was due from McKellar, because we were closer than, say, Whitestone or something like
that? Obviously, by the formula, Whitestone had, I believe, the longest driving distance of anybody, and we were similar to Carling. So I guess the steering committee talked about that. They actually had quite an in-depth chart showing the distances out to all parts of the different municipalities. I think Seguin being quite complicated, because they have areas that are really close to the facility, but areas that I believe were way out and beyond, and the concern of theirs was some of their area beyond residents, they would continue to go to Huntsville. So it was fairly complicated, but it was the steering committee that did those calculations. Well, the Senate Rule Committee recommendations. The YMCA property, as recommended by CS&T Architects, be approved as the site. The architect's option A, be approved for the purpose of designing and constructing the facility. That the cost sharing formula be approved for the allocation of operating capital costs. That joint municipal service board be used by municipalities for the purpose of acting as an agent on behalf of municipalities in designing, constructing, maintaining, fundraising, operating the Westbury Sound Area Recreation Culture Center. That the joint municipal service board agreement be approved and the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute the agreement substantially in the form attached. That the steering committee be directed to take the necessary steps to create the joint municipal service board. The steering committee be directed to enter into negotiations with YMCA for the purposes of operating the facility, and that the steering committee be directed to enter into negotiations with the YMCA to secure the approved site.
Much of that was actually in the agreement then that was signed. As I say, in hindsight, I think those questionable clauses, like the last one, for instance, didn't really enter into the agreement. It was sort of left open. And I believe that shows up in one of the slides as well. So it was just the obligations that were in there. And as I say, a bit of confusion on whether you need each municipality to decide on everything or whether it's the way to vote. We contacted our solicitor, as you're well aware, and there is confusion certainly in the wording of some of those clauses. But this is back in 2021.
Critical next steps. Back then, the provincial federal government has approved a $23.3 million ICIP grant. Critical steps include obtaining approval from remaining municipal funding partners, was done on the most part. Executing the partnership agreement, also done. Creating the municipal service board, that was created. Appointing council reps to the board, yes. Board executing ICIP funding agreement by September 10th. Well, it was executed, I'm not sure about that date, but yeah, the ICIP grant was, agreement was brought forward to confirm that the grant would be received.
I recall, I don't know how far back your memory goes here, there was quick meetings in succession there because it was the deadline for the grant.
Right.
And And so decisions have to be made very quickly with special meetings.
Yeah, I believe at that time there was a lot of excitement on, so that made it possible as far as I think in a lot of municipalities' minds. In my mind personally, even when I seen those figures, I figured my vote would have to always be no going forward because unaffordable, basically. But when the ISIP grant came through at the $23 million, it all of a sudden that, to me, that's a lot of investment by the province and the federal government, so that kind of got me back thinking a little more positive that this facility could go forward. Of course, that's just my personal opinion. Consideration of an alternate site. This is a frame added on the end, I take it, or something? Executing the partnership agreement in order to secure ISIP funding is priority one. Should there be a compelling reason to change the building site, the Municipal Service Board will be able to address at a future date while not stalling the project. This is kind of a new slide to me, but I'm almost taking that, David, is so that another site can be looked at and still fall within the ISIP grants. Is that what's...
Right, that's what's... this came from their site, what they had available, but as you say, the numbering certainly doesn't fit, and I don't know whether that's been inserted later, whether that was actual part of the presentation. It seems to be a different sheet, but so I can't say for a fact. I have to speak to somebody in Carling, I guess, that that was part of the original presentation.
Mayor Moore?
Yes?
I know the answer to that question.
Just quickly.
I'll introduce myself. My name's Robin Plum. I'm a resident of
Carling. Just so people on Zoom.
So in 2018, Carling and the town of Perry Sound purchased the property for $420,000. So when it came, when another site was selected, so that's the YMCA site, Carling wasn't really happy about that. And that's why they have this proviso there.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, was that the end of the slide? I see one there, comments and questions, but I guess I'll take my seat and I'll let David take over at this point.
Thank you, Councillor House. Alternative, at this point, maybe since the steering committee, and I know Ina was a part of it from the beginning, but she is now, and I'm wondering what role the steering committee plays in making decisions and sending information to the board. So you just maybe give us an overview of your position now on the steering committee, how often you meet, and that sort of thing, whether you keep minutes, whether it's open to the public.
Okay. So I joined... I was appointed to the steering committee in December of 2021. Our purpose is to monitor the program. I'm going to read my notes here. We're to monitor the program. We work with the project managers, the architects, the construction companies, and make advise the board on how to move forward. We advise on the budget. We get legal advice as needed. We're the ones that put out the RFPs for anything based on the direction from the board, what they require us to do. What else do we...
No,
we basically, that's it. We work at the direction of the board. We follow their direction. We get the information that they require. We bring it back to them. They make their decisions based on that.
But I guess the question is part of it, are any minutes kept? Or is it
yes, there are minutes kept. The minutes are kept. The steering committee meeting is not open to the public. It is strictly the steering committee because all of the information that we deal with is confidential information until approved by the board. The board is the one that will decide what of that information is released to the public. But minutes, regular minutes are kept.
The RFPs that you were involved with, there were a couple, I believe?
I've been involved in two of the RFPs. The project manager was appointed just shortly before I started attending the meetings. Our treasurer did attend on the appointment of the project manager. I have attended for the architectural RFP and for the construction company RFP. Again, we went through the selection process. It was quite a lengthy grading, deciding who would be the best option, and then providing our recommendation to the board.
And those RFPs, the actual documents themselves, are not available to the board?
I would have to confirm that with the chairman of the board.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I never saw one until I sat on there.
Then I would be safe to assume that it was not made public, but I can confirm that through the chairman of the steering committee.
Okay, thank you. Roshan, I guess some figures that you have available at this point, and maybe the one that's really interesting, you'd mentioned it before, I think, to me, about the large sum for capital construction, wanting it all at once. Maybe you can just explain. We thought it was going to be parceled out over a period of time.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So our share of the cost is $723,174. Last year we paid $161,635. Remaining balance we paid this year. So we paid all of the amount. Initially, my understanding was that we will pay the amount in the time when the construction will be completed, but they asked us all the amount within 1 year of the Joint Service Board started. So we fully paid up. To pay that cost, we borrowed the amount from Infrastructure Ontario. We borrowed $775,000 at the rate of 4.41, and it will be paid in 10 years. Once the facility is completed, then our share will be in the last will be up to the $29,750.
And the commitment for the operating once it's running, that's over a 10-year period.
I think every 10 years it will be revised, the commitment. So I'm assuming maybe it's up to the 10 years.
So up front,
We paid $723,174.
And committed to around $30,000 a year for 10 years?
That's correct.
Roughly. Okay. I think at this point what we'll do, you've been quite good sitting there listening to all of this, and I'm sure you have opinions. That is the purpose of this meeting, to get your opinions. And I think what I'll do is open it up now. I'm not sure how many are on Zoom, but we'll open it to the people who are actually in attendance here. You made the effort to come out and showed the interest, and as I said before, council often acts as your agent without consulting you. This time we are consulting, and we'd like to hear your opinions based on what was said today, or what you know about the project, perhaps, and any ideas you may have. So again, we'll just, there's no particular order. If you wish, you can speak where Councillor Hassan spoke. And as I said, it is being recorded as far as we know, but again, we would like comments, written comments, sent to Council over the next couple of weeks. Okay, so the floor is yours, whoever wishes to go up. And I think the mic is active. We'd like your name, certainly. And if you're a rate bearer.
Hi, my name is Craig. Is that the microphone on?
Is it on? I don't know.
Yeah. Is the microphone on now? Okay, good. My name is Craig Smith, and I'm a rate bearer. Just have a couple questions about the municipal portion. So we have rising costs, and I'm not we haven't talked about the fundraising component. So in total, in terms of the municipal portion of the budget, are we anywhere close to the target? Can anyone answer that? I'm not really sure. Like, you described the McKellar's portion of what we paid up, et cetera. are we in the other municipalities, are we anywhere near the meeting, you know, like covering the cost, what the construction could be?
I think that's the problem we have. The figure is not out there yet.
I think so.
Although we've heard that, you know, this is it. This is our limit. It's a maximum.
Right.
However, my concern, of course, with that is that when it goes back to the municipalities and the board, you know, how are the votes going to go as far as increasing the cost? I mean, we just heard, for instance, what happened in the past when Whitestone decided to pull their portion and decide to give a donation instead. It looked as if, Councillor Haskell can confirm this, the others divvied up the difference? That's right. So that's precedent. I mean, that might give you an idea, but we don't know the stage of negotiations with the property. As we said, we don't know any costs as such. And certainly the RFP, to the best of my knowledge, for the construction has not been let yet. And part of that will be determined by what the CS&P architects come up with for design. So a lot of figures still floating out there, you're right.
Right.
And fundraising is the confusing part. They've agreed, I believe publicly, to fundraise for the extra $2 million for the extra two lanes. But they're also talking, I think it was $10 million tops fundraising, five for an endowment and five for other. Maybe other people have information on what they promised. We have a fundraising committee who have gone on and hired a professional fundraiser through the board. And that person is paid $46,000, $50,000, plus gets 13% of all funds raised that they end up raising. And I'm not sure, again, we haven't had an up-to-date report. The one that people have commented on that went public, I hope it's out of date because not much has been raised so far. And that's my concern with fundraising, of course. There's no guarantee with that. And it has been raised numerous times at the board level. If the fundraising doesn't come through, who pays the cost? And it won't be the fundraising committee because they're volunteers. It won't be this company who's paid to raise what they can. They're not guaranteeing to raise a certain amount. So we're leaving that open, I guess, that if the fundraising committee doesn't come through with the amounts they're talking, it looks for, let them go back to the municipalities, what do you want to do proceeding from here?
Right, okay, so a lot of unknowns in terms of the cost. My other question is there a deadline so for the cost to be firmed up? I'm thinking about the provincial and federal money that is being contributed. Is there like an end date where the municipalities have to step forward with all the additional money, or and if there is a deadline, what happens if the municipalities don't meet it? Does the project collapse, or what happens?
Probably other people, maybe even the audience, can speak to the ICIP grant and what's in it. My understanding is the latest figure I saw was 2027. I could be wrong on that. Everything had to be completed by then. The way the government works, I think, both levels, usually you spend your money and then you're reimbursed based on a period of time, and they keep their money as long as they can.
Yeah.
And then they'll give some. So I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure, I guess, that they haven't put any money up front yet, but we have to come up with it first and start into the project. There's concern, certainly, and as you mentioned, if the whole thing falls apart, then what happens to the money we've already spent? And the grant, if they want that back, I'm sure they would. So there are a lot of unknowns, and that's why I'm thinking time is of the essence to get this going. The original proposal, I think, was to have shovels in the ground now. And a lot of things have changed since, so it's a moving target, and we are left up in the air, as you say, for what our responsibilities are, what our costs might be.
Sorry, just to clarify, the 2027 date, the project's supposed to be completed by then, or shovels in the ground?
No, I would say completed. Again, that was, you'd have to reread the ICIP grant, and the problem we have with the grant is that there's a negotiating team, a subcommittee, that's going back to the representatives of this grant and suggesting changes. And so as long as the government keeps going along with the changes, I mean, they may be negotiating a new date, I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Then in another
town of Perry Sound about $250,000 a year to do the board administration, which is a real cost. It has to happen. So $250,000. When they agreed to increase it to six lane pools are much more expensive to operate because they're bigger and they're deeper. Water handling and air handling equipment apparently is very, very expensive. I'm told this by area experts that used to operate these pools for a living. So, for example, your former mayor, Peter Hopkins, he has 28 years experience operating pools, and he told me that the competitive pools are not really suitable for recreational use because they have to be deeper, they have to be kept colder, apparently, and they are much more expensive to run. So they estimated 150. That's probably on the low side. But these are their own numbers now. So we've gone now from 300,000 a year to 1.8. So that 1.8 is pretty much locked in. They also overstated the revenue. They think this pool is going to attract 2,215 members out of a community of this size that's so dispersed. According to feasibility consultants, that is completely unrealistic. So they overstated the revenue by probably 600,000 a year, which increases the operating budget. Mayor Hopkins got all of the actual operating costs, I think, for all of the YMCA facilities operated by the Simcoe Y, which is the operator proposed for this facility. And he sent them in a memo to the pool committee back in 2019 or 2019. It's 1.8 to about 2.3 million a year. The pool committee's presentation had it at 1.4. So this would be at 50,000 square feet, which is massive, apparently the cheapest pool ever to operate. So we figured the operating cost is understated by at least 485. You heard the mayor and the treasurer talk about how this is being financed. Every single municipality has to take on debt to finance this. So McCullers is over 10 years. I did the calculation over 20 years. I figured that's a better match. So you get funding from Infrastructure Ontario at about 4.4 is yours. I'd say now it's about 5. Anyway, so that's going to be over 20 years, the financing costs. So now we've gone from 300,000 a year to 3.8 million. And that's on the low side. You've never seen this number presented publicly by the pool committee or the steering committee, but all those numbers are real. And at that level of spend, we ought to be having a conversation about priorities. It's just not fair to expect people to just start paying. This agreement caps contributions at $350,000 for the operating deficit, $350,000 for additions to the site, $32 million for the capital cost. What's going to happen when the reality sets in? It's going to be bankrupt unless all the councils agree to increase their funding by about 5 to 10 times. That's not fair for anyone. It's not fair for the people that want this project to succeed because it's no way to do it. There are better options and they should be pursued. I think we could have something that works for this community if everybody's reasonable and figures out how to spread the cost. This community is too small and too dispersed, according to the experts. But the way to do it is to actually build something where you have more contribution from different government agencies. So build some health and wellness facilities in there and get, you know, that the Ministry of Health to pick up some of the costs. Get social services in there, but get them to pick up some of the costs. There was a letter sent by the head of the Near North School Board to each of the mayors back in 2018 or something. I have copies of all this stuff. They said, we heard that you were thinking of building a pool. How about we maybe do something together because we're planning on building a new school, which I gather they've started. Nothing happened. But that gives you a clue, though, as to how this could be done in a way that's not a massive burden, because at 3.8 million a year, that's going to crowd out your ability to fund things like your roads and your garbage dumps, all the facilities that most people use. It's just not fair. I can answer some questions about the RFP. I actually have Landscape Services, which went to CSP for $2.2 million. At the beginning of it, in the background, they state, we understand costs have increased 35%. Therefore, we want you to look at de-scoping, so reducing the scope of the facility. So all these nice things that are presented on here at Carbon can't possibly be built. It can't. And they've acknowledged that and said, so they need to now tell us what's going to get cut. And how can you tell us? They did a survey back in 2020. I don't know if you folks remember or if you paid attention to that. It was a wish list. And I went, it was like reams of paper, but I went through it all. About 85% of the people who wanted a pool would use it recreationally or therapeutically. And only about 10% were interested in competition, so six lanes, deep tank, and all that stuff. So that's how they ended up with a four-lane pool in here. It wasn't ever supposed to be a six-lane. They went with the four-lane because that's what most people wanted. And if you look at all these studies as to how standalone fitness and pool facilities work together, if you look at the membership, if you've ever belonged to one of these, my wife and I have been members of the YMCA in Wasaga Beach for many years. That's a four-lane pool in a 38,000-square-foot facility. It's only ever packed at when you would expect it to be, sort of late Saturday afternoon in the wintertime. And that's serving a population of 64,000 people, not 18 and a half, which is what this facility will serve. So if you look at who attends, it's mostly the fitness center that's busy. And if you look at how the memberships break out, most of the membership is taken out for the members use the fitness site. So two-thirds of the fitness or the membership is fitness people, and about a third is interested in the pool itself. So if you reduce the size of the actual fitness area, which I think they're going to do, they have to cut it something somewhere. If you take that away, guess what? You're left with about a third of the membership, which means that your operating deficit is going to go through the roof because you're not getting enough revenue. So there has to be, I think they need to stop, just stop this whole thing. Start over, come up with a better plan. Don't put the ISIP grant at risk, because if this thing goes bust, we'll have to return every dollar they gave us, and they'll never give us another grant. But the ISIP program runs until 2028. So if we stop and regroup and start trying to figure out how to do this right, then we've got a much better chance of getting the ISIP grant and getting something done. Sorry, I didn't want to take up here this time, but I know there's a big information gap, and I have a lot. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew what the facts are and that are available. Everything I've said is verifiable. I have reams of data. As I mentioned, I've got a ton of information under a couple of Freedom of Information requests. I have actual contracts. I have correspondence between the ISIP people and the steering committee members. I have all of this. So if there are any questions, I'll take questions, or I'll just...
No, that's fine. I'm thinking we'll let other people have an opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Peter Hopkins, and my name has been mentioned several times, and some of the statements have been correct, some of them maybe not. So anyway, I just want to bring up a little bit of background in that when I first came up here in 2000, I had been the recreation director at the University of Waterloo and done a lot of stuff in facility management and building new capital facilities. So I questioned why there wasn't a pool up in the Westbury Center. So in 2006, I became co-chair of the pool committee from 2006 to 2010. In which we did all sorts of consultants, reports, studies, all community-based volunteers, 20 of us on the community-based board with students involved, etc. We came up with a proposal. All we wanted to do is present it to seven councils to see if they would come to the table and discuss the idea of a pool. No money, no obligation, nothing. So five of the seven municipalities came to the table to discuss. I agreed to come to the table. Two did not. McKellar was one that did not. So at that time, the pool committee dissolved. In 2018, a new community group, and this is the fourth group that's come forward since 1988. It's been 35 plus years trying to get a pool in West Paris down the area. And there's a lot of people that are in favor of it, there's some that are against. So in 2018, the pool committee came together, they convinced the municipalities, and the political decision to come to discuss the pool. And that's where all this stuff has occurred. And it's taken a lot of work, a lot of effort from a lot of people. And there's certainly a need for a pool. Every study has been replicated, 85% of people want, it's the number one, a recreation pool is the number one needed facility in the area, by far. The next highest is an arena at 9%. So that's been replicated time and time again. So there's definitely a need for a pool, and they thought they were on the right track with a $23 million ISIP grant, of which we would only have to pay $8 million, which is an unbelievable gift for us, I think, something like that. They've run into a few complications with site, they've run into a few complications with operating costs, and they've almost, because I've recommended beforehand, that they're going to have to, they were going to tear down the old Y and build a whole new multi-complex of 48,000 square feet. That became unrealistic. So they were looking at a stage two, which was leave the existing Y as it is, and then add on the pool, which made much more sense from a financial point of view, and much more realistic. I don't know where that is at this point in time. So when I left, that was what I thought was going to happen, was that the existing Y was going to stay there, they were going to renovate it, update it, and do some of those nice things that were on the list, and then just add the pool in for the majority of the ISIP grant. That would have been affordable. On top of that, I'd be recommending that they do two endowment funds to pay for operating costs and to pay for capital repair costs. And these endowment funds were $5 million each, done through fundraising. And the way that that works is that when you have a $5 million endowment fund, you take the interest off each year to help offset the costs. And the cost of living goes back into the fund, and you have that fund forever to offset some of those unknown costs, actually, especially operating costs, which I'm concerned about. So those two funds are being developed as we speak. I don't know where they're at. And the government has been, and the mayor of Seguin has been responsible for that committee. And I haven't followed up with God, just given suggestions of how to do some fundraising, which I've done. So I've raised $10 million and a $5 million endowment fund at the university. So I'm well aware of all of these types of things. Operating costs, to me, is the major concern. And the other ones, there are two other things that are really bothering me. One is to lose the ISIP grant would be a crime. $23 million. It's never happened. It's never going to happen again. You never get any other grants again. And then the bigger one, to me, is that if we don't cooperate and collaborate with other municipalities, then you know what's going to happen down the road. It's already been in the papers. And I'm very concerned that we're going to be a forced amalgamation of the government. Thank you.
Nothing. So don't go around telling everybody, oh, wine to spread for your proportions. And people, in my opinion, we saw the folly of all this, okay? And that's why we said $250,000, not 500 and so on. And we tapped our contribution, but what people are forgetting, it was conditional on a study being done, a review, and that's a new review of the actual things that Robin is talking about here, okay? We wanted that done, okay? And that was a condition of getting any of our money, okay? Nothing was happening, and we suddenly see in the financials BDO $5,000 for a study. BDO doesn't open their washroom for $5,000. This is not a new independent study that we asked for. So what did we do? We sent a motion to the pool committee in, I think it was July, saying be careful. Because if you know the inference is you don't do the proper study, we're not paying the money. Okay, that was a condition. And what did they do? They canceled the August meeting, they canceled the September meeting. They've just slapped us in the face, in my opinion, as a councillor in Whitestone, right? So, Mayor Moore, I've watched every meeting that's come forward, and you do an admirable job, I think, of representing Keller. And please take that message back to them at the next meeting. They're playing with fire. They really are. And what I don't know is, if we back out, does that mean the whole thing goes down? Does that mean there's one municipality not contributing, so both? It's far Peter about amalgamation, that's deader than a duck. And every municipality, if you follow everything that was said, no one's amalgamating anything. And that's the reason. If you don't give your money, they're going to amalgamate you. That's another falsehood. Okay, so let's deal with realities. My wife was on that advisory committee for the pool, so I can talk to it a bit, okay? Everyone on it wanted a pool. It was like a cheerleading squad, right? And they put them together, and they said, it's like saying, well, what do you want in the car? Oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. There was no cost ever associated with it, right? And if you put out to people what you want, they'll tell you everything, right? When you say, oh, that's going to cost you $55 million, oh, we don't want that, right? You know, so that committee was a little, you know, God bless them, but everyone on the committee was like Peter. We've been waiting 35 months for a pool, right? And the last comment I'll make is, you've got to distinguish, and Whitestone did, what is a want and what is a need, okay? Once you start thinking of it in those terms, what could all this millions of dollars mean to the area versus the pool? And I don't believe in for one moment that a doctor is coming to Perry Sound and the critical tipping point is going to be whether they have a pool or not. When they come up here